could do a we could both do a 1, 2, 3 clap.
Okay, yeah. Are you guys recording?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Okay. So here you go. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we gotta be quiet.
Okay.
Well, I'm already recording.
The clap works either way.
Are
we gonna do it on three or right after three?
Yeah, Bollywood flow and
should I be recording?
My real friends never hear from me. Pick friends, write the wrong answers on the mirror for me. That's why I pick and choose. I don't get shit confused. I gotta
the haters in the building.
There was never actually any silence there.
That worked.
All right. Welcome, welcome to another loud episode of Shoutin' Bout Ballers. And let's get out of in front of it before anything else happens. I fucked up last week, some audio difficulties, so you did not hear a preview. I'm sorry, a review of episode 3. So we'll try and do some of that today.
Fans have been on my ass. I had to apologize to my wife.
You also made a goof because you're referring to episode 4, not episode 3.
This is episode 3 of the podcast, right?
Oh,
I'm
going to
try
sorry.
And save this.
Sorry,
episode 3 of the podcast, episode 4 of the show, episode 5 of the show.
Episode 4.
Oh, yeah, I blew it. Whatever. Welcome back. We are with the we're with the Bang Local Dads guys. Guys, say hello. Dan,
howdy.
Neil.
Hola. Thanks for having us.
That was high energy, boys. I like that.
Listen, we got everyone's got a lot of shit to complain about. No one is in a great mood about Ballers.
I'm in a great mood. I love Mondays.
So we don't need high energy. We need a complaining energy.
I'd like to point out first that it, not even about the episode, about the end of the episode, where like they had to preview the rest of the season at large instead
yeah,
of just preview the next episode because they're like, we're losing fans quick.
They've seen the boards.
We need to bail. We need to bail water right now. It's like they're selling ASM. They're doing everything.
Let me know that something is on the line here. That's worth my time.
The preview didn't even show anything interesting. It looked like a bunch of like
some
wetlands
sex,
in
maybe.
Florida. Oh, we got plenty of sex this episode. I don't know how they could pack any more into this season.
Yeah, everybody fucked this week.
Well, no. some for real. Some actually. Wait a minute.
Yeah, we can just start.
No one did.
Wait.
No one did.
Charles didn't fuck.
No
you're right.
Charles may have, but it wasn't shown. The Rock definitely did not,
no.
definitely.
Because he had to talk about business.
Yeah.
And then and then Joe just did so virtually.
He may have jacked off. He had bed bugs.
He certainly jacked off.
No, he just fondled. He even virtually just fondled.
Also, he's got the gloves, so what's he really supposed to do?
That's my favorite thing about that VR.
Oh, I didn't even think about the gloves.
It's like real video. But he's still interacting with it. I would love for that technology to exist. But the VR later in the episode, the Jetsons Stadium in Las Vegas, looks like the most comically horrible animated bullshit I've ever seen.
Just SimCity 6.
Yeah, it just looked like the future if you thought about the future from like the 1960s.
There's no Jumbotron. There's like rafters in front of the oval screens that are like
just bubbles and shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, he was saying just like that's like luxury boxes that hang over the field.
Yeah.
And he was rubbing his fucking grody ass fingers together the whole
time.
So
he's gonna be pressed
eyes.
Right against the glass and looking directly down in order to see anything.
Well, I know you guys are football fans, but are you guys arena football fans at all?
No.
I have not watched much arena football.
Okay. Well, I would recommend there's a show that was on AMC, no, not AMC, A&E, I believe, that was about how KISS owns an arena football team.
I don't know how I never got around to that because I also have a morbid fascination with KISS.
Yeah, because I think there's a scene in there that feels like something that should exist in the Ballers universe, where there's a scene where they have a marketing guy and they're at Gene Simmons' house and they also have the coach there and they're trying to talk about promotional ideas and they're like, well, why don't we just make the players wear the makeup while they play. And that seems like the same level of shit.
Oh, the KISS makeup while they play.
No, not going to do that. We can't do that.
And the marketing guy's like, what? That just sounds like a fun idea. Like, the players already do the face black. That's like halfway there.
I got to ask this. I'm still not clear how they're going to make any money off moving a team to Las Vegas. How does Anderson Financial, yeah. are they going to have like an ownership stake?
Are they going to like broker it?
I guess The Rock has some sort of stake in future revenue. Yeah, because there's no
it seems like, yeah, they're just like, hey, you guys, they like they just need other people to do everything, but they're not even like discussing getting a cut in any way, shape, or form. They're just like.
The deal makes no sense.
Yeah,
I don't get what's going on at all.
He's not got any sort of ownership stake
that
like,
we know of.
The only thing that I could see is that like he would be entitled to some sort of future cut of profits that either the team or the city make or something. But I don't know what that could possibly be. Because they've never mentioned that.
I liked when The Rock says, like, we got three guys worth $1 billion. Nobody wants to write a check. You're like, yeah, it sounds pretty fucking real to me. Yeah. Nobody pays for their own NFL stadium. That was the most realistic part of this entire week, yeah. that a billionaire didn't want to pay for their own fucking stadium.
Well, I think the most realistic part of this week, and, you know, last week in the Lost episode, came up with a little joke about The Rock jerking off, which opened last week's episode. About how he couldn't even fill up the little container, and how it'd be much funnier if he filled up the entire container and it was overflowing, and the cum got all over his hands and all over his nice vest while he was trying to put the cap on it.
I hate when that happens.
Who among us
over jizz?
But this week, we got the same exact joke that we predicted last week, only with piss.
So that's pretty
which
close.
Which, you know what? A and A one, or one and one A. Sorry, what? It's just like it's good enough. It came out of somebody's dick, and I'm laughing.
That piss got in the toilet. None of that piss got because I watched it the second time, and the second time I watched it, I noticed that, like they're just moving the cup for comedic effect. Like the piss goes all over the floor.
They probably spent a long time on that trying to figure out exactly what was funniest. Like, at what angle do we need to hold it so it hits the rim the hardest?
Yeah,
and that that urine test guy, like, I don't think that's how those guys are.
He was really into it.
Yeah, I think they're a little.
He was really into it. I've seen dicks of all shapes and sizes.
And then he did, and then he still managed to get a dig in. But he's like, I'm impressed considering what you're working with.
Yeah. Good pressure.
Good character development for Ricky though, or no, not Ricky. What's
Vern?
His other friend his best friend in there.
Reggie.
Oh, for Reggie, good character development for Reggie, because he immediately backs up Vernon.
Yeah, he knows. He knows he's a grower, not a shower.
Lil Vernon only comes out of his shell for the ladies, but he says it, like, so seriously and confidently.
And immediately.
I didn't catch that.
He's been in a place where he's had to explain this before to a bottle service girl or something similar.
So if we're going to just jump to that part of the episode, I'm totally fine with it. They stole that fucking joke. I'm a grower, not a shower. Did you guys ever watch Weeds?
That's pretty... I think that's just a common refrain.
Is that a really common phrase? I've only ever heard it in Ballers and the show Weeds. That's the only times I've ever heard it.
You've just been hanging around large-dicked men your entire life then?
Yeah, everybody is pretty well endowed. Everybody that I've jacked off, at least.
I mean, there are other scenarios to see a dick besides jerking off.
I don't know why I just did a shrug that like suggested, like, yeah, see, he knows. Like, we haven't gotten there yet, but you know,
let's go chronologically through this episode. We jump to the end a little bit. I feel bad that we got so ahead of ourselves
because we have to discuss the arc of the episode.
I have everything broken down today by character, sure. So we're gonna go by each guy's storyline. All right.
Well, and then.
Okay, we have to
kind of stop off in the middle there because they do some structural things that I think are very interesting.
We do get a little bit of crossover, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of crossover.
Do you have a lot written for Suggs' storyline?
What did I write for Suggs?
I got 45 minutes on Sizzle.
All I wrote for Suggs, where's Rob Corddry? It just says, Terrell Suggs' dreams have meaning. That was all I wrote.
That's it.
And he's like, that's fucking useless.
Why doesn't he have a storyline? He seems
a little interesting. I want to know more about him.
No, I don't. I don't want anybody who's actually in the NFL anymore.
Look,
I'm over it.
In Terrell Suggs' defense, Mikey Welsh, the bassist from Weezer on the Green Album, tweeted, I had a dream that I died in Chicago next week, and then he did, so...
And also, this episode is named Make Believe after the Weezer album.
There you go. See?
Damn. Boys, good work. Yeah, so The Rock met with Boss Man and Wayne Hastings, and then... Oh, yeah, let's talk about his sex life for a minute, because he needs a girl... The Rock, I'm sorry. He is The Rock.
He
needs a girl to be lifting her ass up in the air so he can just jack off.
Hiking that ass.
But when a girl is actually ready to fuck him, he can't move past work.
Well,
that scene was... So this is what I'm talking about structurally. They had the three sex, I'm putting sex in quotes, scenes in a row... First with Vern, right, where his wife jerks him off to convince him to
Charles.
Have... Charles. Charles, his wife jerks him off to convince him to have dinner with the coach and...
Seifert,
who was in
Vern.
Top form this episode.
Vern is Volcel, I think. He just mopes.
And then we get to the Rock sex scene. Or where he goes into the bathroom after not being able to get it up.
For a little
and
tinkle
goes,
time.
Hey, buddy. Come on. You got this. You're going to go out there and you're going to fuck.
Oh, you're going to get your fuck
you're
on.
You're going to get your fuck on.
And does
he had to go talk to the only person that turns him on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he comes out and the girl very sexily says, all good in Tinkle Town.
Oh, that's what it was.
kind of foreshadowing the Tinkle Town that Vern has to have later.
That's true. It's like a you managed to work. It's really good foreshadowing, is what it is.
They did have a lot of foreshadowing.
I don't know if it's really good. Anyway,
it's like repeat later on. Like it's like how in the Big Lebowski stuff gets repeated constantly. And says,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thematic consistency.
Yeah. There you go.
What was their talk about after he came back and didn't fuck her?
He's like,
why Wayne Hastings wasn't giving up his money in the deal? Why he wasn't putting any money?
Sure, and also The Rock gives really good head. Apparently, amazing.
She seems to be into it.
You're not allowed to look at him while he does it.
Yeah, he has to hide beneath the blanket.
I disagree. She seemed into it when like they turned the camera on, but as soon as they turned the camera on, she's like, "All right, I'm fucking done with this. Get up here."
Well, she was just ready. She'd moved into a different place,
different phase.
Yeah, she
like the moon. You know.
I don't want to give The Rock the benefit of the doubt. If I have any doubt, I just assume he's too into himself. He can't do this.
Look, I'm going to say that he's good at it. He seems like he's good at it.
I don't think he's good in real life. I think in the show he makes himself good at it. So
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's the man's man. Yeah, he's got to be good at this. Which is a real divergence from the Tony Soprano, like, don't fucking tell anybody I give you head.
Yeah. Speaking of The Rock, thinking he's better than he is, or projecting himself to be better than he is, you had us watch the eclipse video today, not to date ourselves, but today was the grand eclipse. And
let's not date this recap episode of a specific episode of Ballers.
Yeah, I want to keep it fresh.
Episode 5 only.
Yeah, when someone discovers this in the future, they don't want to know about the politics of our time or what was going on. They want to know about Ballers.
Put this in the eclipse time capsule, like outside of elementary school.
But in that video, he goes on and on about how sexy he is and how big he is enough to block out the sun. And then he realizes it's not him, it's the moon, and he seems legitimately disappointed by the end of that video.
I thought his head was going to block out the sun the whole time, but he never really did it because he has such a big head.
He's got that gray beard now, too, which is a little concerning. The Rock's getting
kinda
up
like,
there.
Kind of like seeing Eminem with a beard, you know?
It's
odd.
I have to, yeah. That's his leisure beard. Yeah, you know, he's on vacation.
He was training, though. Always training.
Well, he's always training. That's the thing. That's why he's...
No days off.
That's what. Yeah, he in real life is probably bad at giving head on account of he's just got to be thinking about egg whites and similar shit.
Like,
it would take away time from training.
Yeah, but he's just like workout DJ Khaled, or at least that's what he's trying to be.
He is workout DJ Khaled, definitely.
Him or JJ Watt.
I haven't watched anything of DJ Khaled's on Snapchat for a while. I was doing so because I thought it was funny for a bit, and then it gets sad.
Yeah.
Posts like hours long, and it's exhausting. Though the one I remember that I really liked is just him sitting in a car. It's like, they don't want to see you on the Pacific Coast Highway in a drop top with red guts. So be on the Pacific Coast Highway in a drop top with red guts. It's like, yeah, it's just like in a way this sucks, but like I get it.
Yeah, it never got better after his like 12-minute long World Star video. where he was drinking the giant champagne underwater.
Yeah, yeah.
That one was that really was good. Peak.
But what? That actually sounds pretty cool.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah. That was like probably 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, that was a while ago. That was pre-Snapchat, Cal. That was like when he was just coming into his own.
That's before he got lost on the jet ski out in the ocean.
Yeah, all that.
Did that happen?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all.
Really? That sounds so cool.
You got to catch up on your Khaled history.
Yeah, I don't know anything about DJ Khaled.
Getting a little too far out in the ocean on a jet ski is terrifying.
Yeah, I bet.
I'd gone on a family vacation. I guess I was like, I remember I watched the first game between LeBron and Carmelo on this cruise. So 2003, and it was. It was me and it was my family and my sister's friend's family. Our parents were friends as well. Their dad drank a lot, and just the two of us were on. It's me, like 13 years old, or maybe 15, I guess. My dad's extraordinarily drunk friend, and we're I think it was at Atlantis, and he's just like, Oprah's house is over there. On the island, and it's just like, I guess I'll follow you because I'm a child and you're the adult in the situation. And we got really far off land on jet skis. It was extraordinarily choppy, and I was afraid. I was gonna die on that jet ski.
Dead,
I was a
fucking
no
asshole.
No, I was not prepared to be that far away from land on a jet ski.
How do you know?
He didn't.
How do you know who she lives over there?
No, he was extraordinary. He drank a lot on that vacation. The best thing was when he came back into the hotel room and was like standing in a doorway, just pressing against the doorway, and
his arm
just went, just like, Dad, what are you doing? And he just goes, it's plyometrics, but you wouldn't know anything about that.
That's sad. Okay, back to the episode.
Back to the episode. Guys, how did you feel when The Rock's sassy assistant made another cameo? She was back again this week.
I felt good.
Oh, yeah.
I felt good.
That totally made me feel good as well.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't as good as last week's, though. Last week, she got in a really good eye roll, and this week it was a little bit more verbal. She did good. You know, I forget
what her name I'll make sure I change the language.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there is also some good jive talk this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe they did that with you feel me. Like, that has been, like, a normal phrase for at least the past 15 years or so. Like, that's entered.
If a billionaire of his age doesn't know how to do you feel me.
Like, The Rock is old, too, and he's like, yeah, you feel me on that? Like, and he's like,
okay,
feel
fair.
Me? Like, you mean like get, like, come on. Like, that is just horrible writing.
Well, that's a lot of the show.
That was my favorite part of the episode.
I did not feel that. That scene was not 100 in my mind.
No, there's just a lot of the amount of strain that comes in, and not to jump between characters too much, but eventually, like when when Ricky says something later on, when he's just like, "And you want to take the Raiders out of Oakland, especially now that they're competitive for the first time in like forever?"
Yeah, that was shit. That was so bad.
It's like someone read the Wikipedia.
It's like you just got arrested. You're talking about this now.
It's like someone read the Wikipedia for the 2016 NFL season and just like took and just made all their notes from that.
Well, maybe Ricky's brain is fine, and he just has been like remembering all of the Raiders stuff on how they've been doing for the past few years. So I don't know. I think it fits.
Last week, speaking of Ricky, last week I thought it's a good thing this episode didn't make it to air, because last week I thought we had like definitive proof that they never played another season and this was the same off season as season two. Turns out this episode I was completely proven wrong, because Ricky Jarrett watches his Madden highlights, or like it was Madden.
Yeah,
it was definitely Madden, right?
I love that Ballers is one of another HBO shows that has to require talk about timelines. Like,
yeah,
you think it would just be Westworld, but in Ballers too.
Oh, and Game of Thrones. Like, you know, HBO shows these past couple years have had a real hard time with temporality.
Time is a flat circle,
my
friend.
Time works.
Guys from True Detective, another HBO.
Yeah, we got it.
I totally bought into your theory that this was the same off season last week, were those highlights from this past season?
Well, they would have had.
Like, there's no other indication.
Yeah, he was wearing a Patriots helmet.
Sure.
Yeah.
But there's no other indication in the show that
he was wearing a Patriots helmet.
I just don't know. It's so stupid.
Like, no.
Right. They've never actually said how his year went in New England. They just won the fucking Super Bowl.
Something,
like, they didn't even mention it.
Something that irked me, though, was that in the video that he was watching, one of the DBs, or at least one of the other defensive players, was wearing number 5, which they absolutely cannot do.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's poor attention to detail.
Bad attention to detail because they were doing, like, they were running, like, practice plays with made-up Madden characters and just trying to get, like, toe-tap sideline catches and shit. Bad.
Well, there's, I mean, I don't think there's really that many, like, football, like, nerd guys who like stats that like ballers. This isn't a show about stats.
Well, yeah, who's on the writing staff of this show?
This is a show about being flashy.
It's not that you need a bunch of football nerds to write this show, but one would help.
Literally one would be.
Yeah.
You get one guy in there.
Exactly
who is just
one
like,
guy.
Guys, no, no.
This does not flush out.
I'm not trying to be a dick.
You guys are very good at what you do, but might I suggest.
This dialogue never happened. Supreme. 100 dialogue.
Well, okay, so speaking of this, how about you, like, the NFL is getting painted like a pure bad guy this season. Like, now they're going, like, covertly and sabotaging all the Rock's clients. And
shitting on the Shield.
How are they allowed to talk about the NFL like this in the show? They're presumably getting paid money.
I mean if they can't even continue to make like NFL blitz, then like I don't know. There's got to be the NFL is like.
I think the NFL knows it's a villain in real life, and so it plays a villain in the show. It consciously is doing this because they try to downplay all their evil and make it seem like, oh, we just send the piss man after him, or oh, we just sabotage whatever, when in reality they're covering up like horrible CTE stuff, horrible violent crime and stuff. So they're trying to downplay
just be like, oh, the NFL's, you know, it's just a bureaucratic organization, like that's the reason it's bad.
There's too
many people involved, you know, they've got this weird piss guy. Oh, you gotta pass this regulation. Oh, I'm not certified to be an agent's manager. I'm like, I'm not certified to handle money. Like, that was a whole thing last season. Like, they just, yeah. They just
Ballers is arguing for a libertarian NFL, I feel like.
I think
that this is also the second time in as many HBO comedies, Silicon Valley, and now this, to use virtual reality and horse cum as jokes.
Ballers is not a comedy.
It's a drama.
Ballers is not
fucking hard-hitting.
There are no jokes in this show besides the overflow.
That's
of
true. There's no jokes besides fuck me and pee.
Oh, the stone crabs.
I was going to ask you guys at the end what your favorite and least favorite part of the episodes were, and I'm just like, I'll give you guys time to think about it, because I'll give you mine right now. This episode did not have Jason in it, and that was my fucking favorite part.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
Jason.
I didn't even realize it, but it's true. And I liked the episode more for that. Yeah.
Nothing was lost.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that guy. You didn't hear this last week, but I fucking hate that
dude. Yeah, he fucking sucks.
He's the worst part of the show by far.
He is absolutely the worst character in the show. He has no personality. He's like Eric from Entourage, but they never show how he actually gets laid. He just does.
It's just like every time he's introduced to a scene, he's either like on the phone, sunglasses on, or like just finished banging a chick, or like some girl is complaining because he didn't do something right after he fucked. It's always got to be about fucking with him.
Purportedly, the way he gets laid is he feeds them.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah, that was the implication from the woman with the heavy Long Island accent.
The Red Lobster.
But the only time he's not shining that light was when he somehow found his way from the middle of the Everglades back to Travis Mack's house.
Yeah, dude, oh my god.
That episode was awesome.
Horrible.
Just like, titty boy, I like the way you do things. You can be my agent now.
You straight shooter, boy.
Yeah, it was
I dumped you into the gator-infested fucking
left
miles and miles away.
Left you to die.
That was like, I was so pissed, though, like, when he didn't die or anything. And then not only did he not die in that episode, but when he got back to his car, he had a change of clothes, too. And he was just, like, changing clothes and, like, and complaining. Like, so he didn't even have to drive home wet. Like, every single problem just got solved immediately.
As a moneyed serial sex fiend, I think it makes sense that he keeps an extra outfit in his trunk.
I'm just spiteful about like the convenience of it for his own character.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's hardly ever inconvenienced except for that one sort of robbery, but he seemed to handle it very well
and got his money back.
All the money, yeah.
And still got to call the thief a bitch.
Yeah. And that and then that guy's got to replace a taillight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I want to see. One time and throughout the season, I want to see Jason inconvenienced. That's it. That's how low I'm setting the bar.
Any of them, like, inconvenienced or something that lasts longer than an episode.
Well, also, one other thing I'll bring up real quick here is, did you guys happen to see the art in the office?
Oh, yeah.
Like, when they walk out of the office at the beginning and they come through and they're just, like, kind of, like, going past the receptionist. In the background.
In Anderson Financial?
Yes, Anderson Financial. Okay. ASM,
no.
Where the business happens. And they're coming out of there, and there's just, like, the most awful, like, it looks like when you're looking through, like, a Best Buy flyer, and you see, like, football players on those TVs, like, in those old ads.
Yeah.
And like, those, like, Penn State-looking uniforms.
Yeah, where it's, or it'll just be,
generic,
like,
blue and white.
Yeah, and there'll just be, like, some sort of, like, swirl on the helmet, but it's just, like, there's no logos anywhere.
Yeah, there's just, like, 8 photos, and, like, one's of a football helmet, one's of those generic-ass players, one's of another football helmet, one's of a football helmet in the grass.
Like, you think they would just have photos of their clients or something.
Actual art?
Like, they already use the NFL teams, like, why not?
Yeah, or actual art, not, like, some
Well, the
bullshit.
Only art they have in there is the dollar sign.
Oh, right.
Because
big dollar sign. Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching this movie, Antitrust, last night, and a line they have in there is, the only art left is business. So that's why they have the dollar sign on the wall.
Damn. Mm.
So what did you guys think of that brisket? You think that it tastes good?
Yes.
The brisket looked fine.
She seemed to be putting some care into it. She called it her famous brisket.
World-renowned.
So at the very least, it's...
Wait. We don't have to call her anymore. Any dedicated listeners to this show know that we have been calling her Crindy since episode 1, her being Charles' wife, because we just didn't know her name, and they never say it. She said it this episode.
Julie.
Her name is Julie. Oh,
Julie.
Of course.
Julie Green.
I've tweeted at her before.
And as soon as she said it, I was like, oh, fuck. They have said this before.
When she,
you guys should try to get Julie on the show.
She would. I think we could have a great time with her. She seems like a great interview.
I wonder if she would give you her famous brisket recipe.
Yeah, I would ask her to please.
Well, it's a show.
Doubtful.
I would hope that the show is detailed enough that that brisket recipe is based on the very least based off a real one, but you know, like, the Ballers Instagram should post the recipe.
Yes.
Crindies.
In the same way that, like, you know, when different languages exist in different movie universes and all that, you know, they take the time to actually, you know, write that out more often than not.
Yeah,
like, this brisket recipe better exists.
Yeah, I said this last week. The world building in the show.
Horrible.
Well, I was going to say it's really good. I really love the detail. The amount of detail they put in everything. So I bet that brisket recipe is real. And I would like to cook it. I would like for us to eat it on air.
We could all do. Well, there were 4 people in the scene. So.
Oh, we could recreate the scene.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get to the dinner scene, let's talk about Seifert and Julie FaceTiming. To me,
first of all, he would never answer that.
Never.
No.
10 times out of 10, not answering.
We'll jump right in and say that.
Somebody who's never called me before and I've never had any interaction with you and you're FaceTiming me? Absolutely not.
At work?
However,
at work, no less.
He seemed to be very pleased once he answered. And I don't want to go tell tales out of school, but he seemed pretty horny by just looking at her and talking to her on that FaceTime. Just his body language.
Well, Southern man has Southern man gets an appetite.
wanna come in here talking about your brisket quality?
Things of that nature.
No, but then so you know it eventually happens. You know, Julie cheats with him the entire time. Seifert,
very dark season.
The entire time, you know, they're having sex. Then Seifert just keeps going, Charles.
Well, Seifert also seems like the kind of guy, like, he could be out somewhere and a woman would be like, how about you come back to my place? And be like, as soon as you can explain to me how this helps the Miami Dolphins win a title.
Yeah. All right, you have a good evening, man.
If you come up with a plan for this season, it's going 19-0, you give me a call.
So he got his ass beat, huh?
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah, he got it punched in the face once and then headbutted. Bunch of mashed potatoes.
As we get to it, that my favorite part of this entire episode was absolutely him having his face shoved into an entire full dinner plate.
Yeah. That famous brisket all over his face.
One genuinely positive thing about season 3, though, is their fights have gotten better. Because the last fight was in season 2, where The Rock was apparently so angry he was going to fight Suggs when Suggs' knee or leg was messed up, and he was in a drop knee scooter. And all The Rock could manage to do to attack this disabled man, all he could manage to do is push him off the drop knee scooter. And then he also was like, "I fucked up my hip." And then, this season, we get to see an actual punch landed and then an actual face shove into the plate. So that was,
That's progress.
Yeah, that was, that scene.
It was a good fight. It was a legitimately good fight.
I like that he threw, four punches into Charles' back on the way out the door.
Yeah, Charles got to get the comic relief line in. You're better than this! As they're going out the door.
Oh. Did they ever?
They resolved
you don't see Charles again in that episode,
no,
do you?
We're going to ask if they foreshadowed that scene, because I think they did when the coach was boxing.
Oh, of course. We know he's a fighter.
Yeah, he is a fighter. So, just got to say.
Yeah. This fucking hand. You don't even look for this foreshadowing. It's so ham-handed. It's so shit. So, we'll show him fighting early in the episode so everyone knows he can throw a punch. And then, literally 6 minutes later, he'll throw a punch.
But I didn't know he was going to shove his face into the plate. They didn't show him shoving someone's face into a cake earlier, maybe at the office.
But he did try and fake out Charles and pretend to throw a body shot. So he's got some tricks.
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder what happened to the rest of that brisket.
Charles.
I feel like Charles took care of that.
They ate that for three, four days after that.
No, Charles would just eat all of it.
I am kind of upset that they didn't finish that storyline out, because that's the climax of the storyline for this episode, and then they don't have anything to wrap it up.
Because it's a damn
It just ends with all
show.
Of them going out of the back screen door. And that's it.
Y'all are better than this. And then, all right, let's go to a different storyline.
I think Charles would definitely eat all the rest. He seems
a stress eater.
Yeah, he seems like a stress eater.
He definitely
He doesn't seem. He's never been shown really having any other vices. I mean, the other time that he was tempted by another woman, he was horrified. he doesn't really seem to drink. I think stress eating's the way for him. Especially
he's clearly a stress eater.
Yeah, the only other thing sometimes he gets mad about loud cars. But he responds.
Got an anger problem.
Yeah, he responds by just buying a nicer car than that guy. So maybe he spends money on to one up people, perhaps.
Rude. But, to one up rude teens.
Yeah, yeah. So I could see him getting caught into like a Malcolm in the Middle type thing where the dad has to play DDR against those kids at the arcade. Maybe something like that.
That'd be infinitely more interesting. Storyline on the show
than anything. Yeah, yeah.
I would like all of Charles' rivalries to be with all people under 21.
And then he shows him up by playing Future. This is just regular popular music. Everyone knows who Future is.
Let's move on to Ricky, who can punch a 12-year-old in the face and have nothing bad happen to him at all afterwards.
Yeah.
I would say he's older than 12. If that kid were 12.
15-year-old?
Late high school, community college.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's just assault, not assaulting a minor, I can see nothing happening.
Call him between 17 and 19, I think.
They didn't – that plot point from last episode had – nothing
no
to do with anything going on.
It's really infuriating.
It was such a cliffhanger. They didn't even use it. They wiped it out in one sentence.
Yeah,
he's
they
just
do
like,
that
yeah,
all
he's
the
like,
time.
Yeah, Spence, I got a lot on my mind. That was it. They didn't address it beyond that. It was just like, hey, you walked into a house that wasn't yours and punched a child in the face. Like, yeah, I got a lot on my mind, but it's okay because I'm going to fly the family up to Foxborough. No future legal ramifications. You don't get to see him getting arrested. You never see a police officer in any of this.
Just a cryptic hint by Candace, who has some position at the NFL that I don't know. She's not the commissioner.
She's Lady Seifert.
She's the fine lady because she's fine and she gives out fine.
Oh. Oh boy.
And suspensions, but that doesn't work into that.
No, that doesn't help.
Because they. Yeah, because can you really get suspended that many games for, one weed test?
Yep.
Because she was, saying, up to 10.
Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount did the funniest thing that one year where they were smoking I think they were smoking a blunt in Garrett Blunt's car, and they both got caught while they were doing it, and they both got suspended 4 games, which led to LeGarrette Blount getting cut and going to the Patriots, which he stayed there for like 3 or 4 years. Le'Veon Bell got suspended for 4 games that game, and then there's Josh Gordon, who's completely infamous for just continuing to smoke pot and continuing to get suspended.
Yeah, not giving a shit.
It went 4, and then I think he got suspended for 8 games and then a season. Yeah. Guy likes weed, which I don't blame him.
Hey.
I love it.
Well, the only, like, my only football knowledge, like, comes from NFL Street.
And ballers.
Don't sell yourself short.
So, every time I see that Mike Vick still isn't on the Falcons, I'm still surprised.
he might have a little bit left. Then you give, like a big three thing for the NFL where you get retired NFL players to get out there and play, flag football.
Mike Vick would do well. Now, I got a question about Mike Vick. He's not going to be in the Hall of Fame, but let's just say he gets elected into the Hall of Fame. Would he not want to go in as a Falcon because that represented like a different part of his life? Like he was running dog rings and killing animals when he was a Falcon, and then he was an Eagle, and he wasn't as good, but he was a good guy.
Okay. I got something to say. I read like the first 40 pages of his autobiography before I got too bored to continue. Because I was working as a temp at Cable Master.
Okay.
So then I would have an hour-long lunch break that I couldn't just get a shorter lunch break and go home earlier. It was just an hour lunch break no matter what. So then I would go to the library, and then I have an hour to kill. And then when I was looking through books in the library to pick up, I was like, oh, Mike Vick. I like him. I played him a lot in like Madden 05 on GameCube. And then also NFL Street on GameCube. Not that much Street 2. I didn't like Street 2 as much.
Warning. Wasn't a fan.
No, I wasn't a fan of that. Or the hotspot stuff seemed like a little bit excessive.
Like,
did have better multiplayer. But anyways, I saw it in there. It's like, Mike Vick, I'll read that. And then it was just like the most boring drivel of just like, you know, I've had some hard times in my life. But I've turned to God. And, you know, here's the start of my football career. And that was it. So I had like a brief acknowledgement at the beginning of like him doing bad stuff. And then it was just like him talking about like,
I'm the best.
Yeah. Like I've always been the best. And then it wasn't a very good book was the point of that.
Oh, God damn it. I guess just like, look, the dog thing happened, but I'm not here to talk about that today.
That was 5 years of his life.
Yeah, it was. Here's 200 pages on everything else. I think about when Paris Hilton was on Letterman right after she'd been arrested, and he brought it up, and she's like, I don't really want to talk about that right now. And he goes, see, that's where you and I differ, because that's all I want to talk about.
Yeah, he called her right out about it. I think he did the same thing with Lindsay Lohan,
He was good at that sort of thing. He was just constantly for like the last couple years of his career, Dave had no interest in being there unless he really didn't like somebody. And then he really, really tore into him.
Let's move on to Rob Corddry's character.
He loves VR.
Dude, is anybody, like, Jason's the worst character in the show. On this, we have all agreed.
Mm. Yes.
And I like Rob Corddry. I do.
In real life.
But he's like, the second worst character in the show. He's absolutely the second worst character in the show.
I don't think Rob Corddry has any... Rob Corddry's character, sorry. Not speaking on Rob personally, but the character Joe... I don't think anybody loves him. Like, he's just always alone. He has, like, no one else that he's ever talking to. He's just only, like, following around Spence. And, he's just got nothing going on.
I think a good
They were
going to
give some guy the pussy pass for the show, which they've given Jason. He's got the pussy pass. He gets laid every second or third episode. Give it to Rob Corddry. You can actually do something funny with it.
I hate that term.
It's a terrible term. It's awful. But give it to Rob Corddry, somebody who can actually do something with it
and say
something potentially funny.
Or at least like seeing him not get the pussy pass, you know, just
seeing
him
like, failing. I'd be interested in his arc for the rest of the season of him falling into this VR world and becoming more and more obsessed with living and existing in a different space to where he stops coming into work.
He's going to have to buy like a full body pillow or something.
And he just becomes like an all right anime guy.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. But also with this VR world that he's living in, he's like, you know, I just got like two, like, what is it, Margot Robbie's. Except like, she's like not black, and there's like one black girl.
That was not two Margot Robbies.
No,
they wrote that joke before they had to put in the VR booby scene, and so they wrote that joke and they did it, and then they're like, it doesn't really matter. We'll just shoot a VR porn scene real quick. The VR porn scene. It seems like he has an infestation at his house. I'd be more worried about that than getting laid by these two. I mean, they're very attractive young ladies, but you have a pressing problem at your home. There are mites. There are mites there.
Yeah, the last thing I want to do when there's a bug problem at my house is get butt-ass naked.
Yeah.
I forgot about the mites.
Also, if I were Margot Robbie, I would just, like, I very much doubt she watches this show.
I would sue HBO immediately.
Yeah,
immediately.
Just be like, please pick anyone else.
Do you remember when LeBron James yelled at LeVar Ball about his son? And he said, keep my kid's name out your mouth.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would say if I were Margot Robbie. Just keep my name off your show.
Just like,
don't involve me in this.
Have Rob Corddry virtually have sex with literally anyone else.
The second one's really great because he's or the second scene where he's doing the VR porn again.
They should have made him he's Joker all and self... her Harley Quinn. That should have been the VR scene.
Yeah, that
would have
been
the Jared Leto
the
Joker.
Suicide Squad themed porn. Yeah. Fuck yeah. And the second one, he's like an all silk get up, and for some reason he's lit a bunch of candles. You can't see the candles. You're in the fucking VR headset. What's
yeah,
with
really
all the extra
the
get up?
You can smell though, because they didn't.
Can smell.
Even though Bugs
aromatic.
Bunny.
Maybe they were whipped cream candles because that's what he was.
Well, they were also a little
inconsistent
with just how immersive this technology was.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because they talk to the billionaire at the end. He's like, can you hear me? And he calls him like a dipshit. And he's, Anderson starts cursing at him. But like Rob Corddry hears his phone like buzz. He just goes, I got a phone call here.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Well,
plot hole.
So the other thing, so that is all leading up to The Rock hires this VR company to make a mock-up of the stadium in one day, in a single day, basically.
No, I thought they said 2 to 3 days. But that also seemed to be like the amount of time that Vernon was holding in his piss.
Yes, because they cut so strange.
Yeah.
So Vernon was there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did cut it apart weird. Yeah, he was holding his piss for 3 days.
For hours and hours.
And they made it seem like he had to sit, he had to like stand there with his dick out, too. Like he wasn't just standing there. Like he was just standing there, like just hanging.
So.
Yeah, he could be like, I'll come back when I'm ready. No, it's like he just had to stand.
They did this mock-up of a stadium, of this entire stadium that would take, like, realistically, a mock-up like that would take, like, months, or like a month.
How long do you think it took the people to make that for this show? Like, how long do you think spent on the CG?
Not
like 30 seconds, but if it was an actual, like, VR experience, an actual, like, architect bullshit.
Yeah, it would take for fucking
they wouldn't make
ever.
It up in 2 or 3 days. Because
they don't have any stadium plans. They don't have any blueprints. They don't have anything. They probably just stole, like, a stadium from one of those, like, the last attempt of, like, non-licensed football games. Like, when they had, like, Backbreaker, like, Blitz the League. Like, just stuff like that. That's probably what they stole
their design
from.
The stadium looks like fucking garbage, too.
Blitz the League.
Yeah, you could do steroids in that one.
The stadium looks so fucking bad. If I was a very rich man, which I am, but if I was, also, in real life.
I don't know where you're going.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm rich. If someone came to me and wanted me to invest in their stadium, and they showed me that, I would be like, fuck no. What? You're crazy. Like, it was a massive waste of money.
Yeah.
And immediately,
Wayneville
immediately drops $100 million on it.
That sounds like a Lil Wayne like album title. If he was
it looked
like
a Lil Wayne album cover.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done with the Carter series. You know, there's been so much trouble with Carter 5. Like, it's, you know, it's been released, not released. No, we're just skipping straight to Wayneville. Like, that's what it would seem like.
Let's move on to Vernon, who I think is our last character we got to talk about today before we get into the odds and ends. Vernon loved the jack-off business so much he's putting an untold amount of money into investing into it.
Well, is he investing in it, or is he's just...
No, he's investing. Because they want him out of the weed business.
You're
out of the fucking weed business, Reggie!
Okay, so he's not just being endorsed. He's just not taking that endorsement. He's investing, and he's on the... Okay.
Right, he's investing, and he's on... Yeah. And they're just like, this could help the league almost as much as cannabinoids can. And like, I don't know about that.
No, no. The answer is no.
The tech they showed of them like doing the quarterback shit looks so horrible.
That looked,
and they're all like scared after they got out of it. They're like, "Oh my god!"
That looked
like
Blue Mountain State practice.
They used a Soul Wax song that I really like, though. That made it in there. That was that. But that is number two in the moment of the week.
That was your favorite moment of the week.
They used Missing Wires by Soul Wax.
We'll get to you. We'll get to that, Mike. It's okay.
I've got some music stuff later.
Okay,
too,
there we go.
Well, I'll let you know what I think of the music guy.
Yeah, so Vernon decided to invest in the jack-off business. Then he got drug tested by the dean of City College. Oh, okay. You know what? I think the funniest part of this episode was the guy who ate way too much weed.
Oh, when he's just the amount of gummies that he I always
he
forget
ate like
that,
a pound of gummies.
I always forget that guy's name, but the amount of gummies that he ate when they're doing the wacky cleanup scene.
Classic,
just 50 minutes.
Our
housekeeper's out of town, you know.
That was very, very classic wacky cleanup scene. They're just pulled out all the stops.
And then he had his shades on his head, and he's wondering where his shades are, bro. Bro, they're on your head.
Oh my god! And you know what? The piss man was in the room. He knew. He knew.
Yeah.
What could he have thought?
The piss man must have
guys.
Known. The piss man must have known they were all fucked up, right? Like, he watched them all clean up through the fucking window.
Yeah, he could see the whole thing. But he's a professional. He doesn't watch these things. He's into the science. Yeah,
all he cares about, all he wants is the piss. He doesn't
like when he said, my business is piss, gentlemen. Nobody can last for more than six cups. My business is piss.
I thought they were also going to do, like, a hold your Wii to win a Wii type scenario. If you guys remember that radio contest.
Yeah, the woman died trying
because
to
get... Because it's like, how much what? Water can you drink, and then how long can you hold your piss? Because you hold your Wii for the Nintendo Wii. And then, yeah, a woman died, and it was just like some stupid radio station contest. So I thought Vernon was going
to
die
won.
This episode.
Well, yeah, she got the Wii. Save.
Yeah, well, that's true. Like her family still got it, I should hope.
I hope they still have it.
Well, yeah, like, but she died for like $300.
That was 250, I think.
Yeah. The one I remember is I think one of the radio stations by us had people live in a car, and the last person to get out of the car won.
Yeah,
I think that's a pretty common one. If I could throw one more in while we're on the subject, my favorite contest I was ever done was probably like 2002, I think, and Opie and Anthony had I think it was when the first Patriots Super Bowl, so the first one after 9/11.
The most important one.
I don't want to even touch that one.
But they had a chowder eating contest, and the last person to puke got Super Bowl tickets. And that just the amount of tarps that must have been laid out in a radio studio for them to have a contest that's specifically built around elimination by vomiting.
Yeah. No, you just need rain tarp everywhere.
Need a drain in the floor.
I think that I noticed a pattern in the way they've been telling the story about The Rock's infertility this season, where they go real concrete on one episode, and then they offhand just somebody makes a dig at him, and then they go real concrete. So the first episode, I think he like makes a doctor's appointment about his infertility, and then somebody makes a dig at him in episode two. Then in episode three, he's at the doctor, and then in episode four, somebody makes a dig, and then this episode. Last episode that he jerked off. Right.
And he tried to put it all in the cup, but the cup was overflowing.
Yeah, there's just cum everywhere.
He tried to put the cap on, and it overflowed all over his hand, got all of it on his vest. And it was
God
really, really, truly hilarious.
Yeah, it was hysterical.
And The Rock was just like, oh, man, this is gross. And it got a couple laughs from me.
That's the clip that they're going to play when he gets his Emmy nomination.
Just him going, this is gross. Just shaking his hands.
Covered in his own cum.
No thanks.
So I wonder if this is this a prequel to Children of Men?
Yeah. Yes. I hope so.
But who
Clive Owen
this time?
Busts in the finale.
It was the boss man.
That's yeah, boss
he was like,
man.
I'm not some childless guy or whatever. Something. So, he referred to The Rock as childless, which he is.
At least like, I sow my fields.
Yeah, I don't understand everyone else's. It's like, you know, constantly bringing up the fact that he doesn't have kids yet, you know, and also, you know, I don't understand the drama around him potentially being sterile. I guess he may still want to have kids at some point, but even then, he's a 42-year-old man not in a committed relationship. You figure he might have let that go at this point.
Perhaps, considering he's 60 if he has a kid tomorrow when that kid goes to college.
But also, like, since they didn't something he brought up the last episode talking about it was how his lady friend was like, wow, that's so mature of you to want to go and, like, find out if you can have kids or not, even though you have no intent on having kids.
Yeah.
Like, that was the line near verbatim. And
yeah.
It wasn't, like, a joke or anything. It was just very matter of fact. Like, this is such a mature move, jerking off in the cup.
Now lift that ass up.
No, I sorry to have to correct you, but it's hike that ass
up.
Oh,
it is
hike. He specifically says hike that ass up. You know why? Because it's a football show.
The craziest thing, though, was once he did it and the cup was overflowing and he tried to put the lid on. And it was just going everywhere.
Which
she slipped
again,
in it.
Which he's like, no. And he's like, room service.
Clean up on aisle four.
I thought he was doing it in a hotel.
Was he? Yeah, he put it in the microwave afterwards.
Yeah.
Remember?
It was a residence inn.
On the microwave.
All right. Neil, what was your favorite part of this episode this week?
I think my favorite part was when Ricky was watching highlights and he was like, oh, it's a good one. I thought that was a good one.
Yes, I definitely did that.
Mike, what was your favorite part of the episode this week?
Seaford's face being shoved in all the brisket.
Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really, really, really enjoyed Rob Corddry licking virtual whipped cream off of a virtual tit.
That was good. Mine was that Todd was not in it at all. I'm sorry, Jason was not in it at all. Mike, worst part.
There's nothing to like about the show. There's nothing to like about this show.
Worst part. Worst part is either that there were zero consequences for Ricky punching a child in that child's own home. Or, there had to be some terrible joke that I can't
Mine is a terrible joke. I already got mine.
Basically anything Steve Guttenberg says, he's just really weird, and he's got like a wax head, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it's far from the Guttenberg I remember, like Three Men and a Baby Guttenberg. Police Academy 2 Guttenberg. Police Academy 3 Guttenberg. Police Academy 4 Guttenberg. I don't know if he was in 5 or 6.
Back when he was cracking wise. He's causing havoc, and now he's the sleaze. I don't like it.
I don't care for it.
Now he's like Wayne Newton Vacation.
Yep.
Neil, what was your least favorite part of the episode? The worst part of the episode?
I think my least favorite part of the episode. I guess I didn't really like when. Charles asked if he should jerk off his two bosses, because I just thought that was very unprofessional.
It was a bit unprofessional.
And having a serious business discussion.
It's so unprofessional.
Because,
you should just do it. Just jerk them off. Why do you got to ask?
Yeah, talking about
actually,
it's rude. It's like tipping. How much should I tip you? No, you just do it.
But going back to a slightly different thing that I just remembered. So when The Rock is talking to his lady friend after he talks business... Then she's like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I just, like, blow him on the plane. Yeah, that's what I do. And I was like, was she joking, or did she, like, actually have to blow
him?
That
was,
like,
facetious.
That was, like, a sly sort of confession. You're just like, I said it. I told you. She's like, no, you said it like a joke.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I just couldn't tell. That was my actual worst, like, the thing I hated the most in there. Because I just, like, I don't really get what they're trying to do with it. I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Dan, least favorite part?
The absolute audacity to disrespect Margot Robbie. Like that. You know? Like I said, my favorite part was him licking the whipped cream off the tit. However, I would have much preferred it was a virtual tit of a virtual woman and not a celeb that we should beat. Ugh.
Please don't disrespect Our Lady of Mischief, Harley Quinn.
Pride of all Australia.
You know, she speaks, she talks crazy and carries a big stick, you know. She's swinging that bat, you know. That's a pretty good weapon, I think.
My actual least favorite part was definitely the stadium at the end. It was so fucking ugly. It reminded me of everything I hate about, like, what the future people think is going to look like and shit. It was just really, really... It hit something in my core.
Yeah, it just bothered you. Just got in there.
Yeah, I really did.
My least favorite part is also something that bothered me. It was when The Rock went and bailed Ricky out of jail, and they were having the conversation in the parking lot. And Ricky says something like, "You don't pay any attention to yourself," or some shit like that. And The Rock says, "Are you kidding me, man? I was just having an epic session with my girl before this."
Oh, epic!
Yeah. Like,
epic session.
She was begging me not to leave. And Ricky goes, "How epic?"
He's like, epic.
I got mad.
Epic is always a good word to use. And it's also really good to use if you're talking about sex.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, sex, and then there's, like,
epic sex.
Epic bacon, my good sir. You, sir,
you're gonna go get
owe
your
me
fuck
a new
on.
Keyboard, sir.
Oh, the sexy times were epic. That's what he would say. And he's gonna go fucking post on... He's probably got posts on relationships, too. About him.
<It's> fantastic subreddit.
Like, so, I'm incredibly wealthy. I'm like banging this hot chick, but I'm not sure if I'm fertile or not.
She's begging me to fucking fuck her after I went down on her for like 30 fucking minutes. She's sweating, she's screaming, fuck me. And I can't do it because I don't know if my sperm work or not.
All the comments are just like, get it checked out. She's like, I'm too much of a man for that.
The problem is I can't jack off anywhere. I can't do it. Every time I try and jack off, I fill up the cup so much that it's just overflowing with sperm.
And then when I try to put the top on it, it overflows, gets all over my hands, all over my nice vest. Oh,
God damn it.
What a conundrum.
All right. Bangalical Dads, guys. Why don't you plug your shit?
Sure. Banglocaldads.com. www.banglocaldads.com. We're in the midst of the summer playoffs right now. We just premiered our hour-long podcast, video, media critique, Extraordinaire Power Hour 2 on Friday.
Woo, yeah, I liked it. Woo,
yeah,
it
went well. You can hear the crowd in the back saying they liked it.
Everyone loves it.
More.
Next up is
a lot of bad buzz about this.
A lot of buzz.
Yeah, a lot of
people are talking.
Next up is the film I directed on tour, where I go on an East Coast tour with a band.
Woo!
And it goes...
also looking forward to that.
It goes not as well as one would hope. And then finally, the last thing is Stupid Neil's album release, Bad Things Have to Happen, a collaborative album with him and Kashan. That's coming out soon, too, all part of the summer playoffs over at banglocaldads.com. I don't know if the Power Hour 2 is not online yet. It's still strictly in the screening mode. So if you're interested and you're in Milwaukee, hit us up. We have some more screenings coming up. Other than that, go to the website, check it out. The podcast is really fantastic. It's not us talking like this. It's it's a mishmash of horrible cultural touchstones from the past couple of years and some good music and... It's a little bit different than the other podcasts you listen to. Other than that, that's all we got. www.banglocaldads.com.
My agent is telling me right now that I'm just tied up in legal stuff, you know, with all the upcoming projects, so I don't want to break any NDAs or get sued, so I don't have anything.
Okay. Mike, plug our shit.
I'm gonna plug my own shit. I have a 14-day free trial to Mixlr, so I've been DJing out of my room under the name John Wayne Gassy. So
nice.
So find me there playing a lot of
kraut rock and electronica,
like
mostly
some kraut rock, playing a lot of electric. Yeah,
fuck
yeah.
I want
to hear some like can and can adjacent things.
Hell yes.
Nice. So I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll tweet about it when I am. So follow. You can follow me at Mega Clang on Twitter. But you could follow this show at _sportsonline and _sportsonline on Instagram, where we're gonna post more for sure. And
we'll be better.
Oh, Oh, by the way, my agent is telling me I need to plug my Instagram. That's the only thing I'm allowed to talk
about. I was going to ask you for that. I wasn't going to let you out before you gave the handle.
It's at Stupid Neil. In the previously, I'd been trying to get more skate clips on there. That's been put on hold. But now I'm doing more outfit stuff. So I'm doing posts about my fits. I'm doing fashion. So
Hype beast.
Check that out.
I had a dream, sorry to interrupt, but I had a dream where I stole Neil's skateboard and then I lost it at a party, and I feel like I'm the same as the guy whose name I can't remember from Ballers who has...
T-Sizzle, baby.
T-Sizzle, where I'm predicting the future. Or the guy from Weezer.
Either way.
Make believe.
I just don't want to lose my skateboard. That's a shitty prediction. That's a shitty ass prediction.
Sorry, go back to your plugs.
That was it. Oh, wait, facebook.com/sportsonlinepodcast. I think that's what it is. I hope.
Yeah, we'll go back to doing more actual regular Sports Online episodes when Ballers is done, I imagine.
We can go
back
to the
crushing weight
of
two episodes a week was they got too much.
Now, for you, I was ready to go. The truth of the matter is that, well, soccer just started, but otherwise we had just baseball, and we're just hoping players got arrested or something midweek. Because there's not many actual storylines to delve into, so we can make it happen.
We can make it happen. We'll do another one this week.
It's about desire. It's about who wants it more.
I didn't want it.
Football's almost back.
That's true. Football's coming back. So
I want to plug itsaaron.com. It's just just a good website with Aaron Rodgers. You know, local sports football player. You know, like Ballers football. And David Gruber, you know, just it's Aaron.com. Just check it out. You might be surprised.
I am.
I'm
looking at it right now.
I am certainly surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out it's Aaron.com. All right, is that it? Did we do it?
We did it. An hour and 1 minute.
We recorded this one?
We recorded this one.
All right.
Haters in the building.
Not anymore.
All right. Bye, Lank. Wait, let me try that again. Bye, Bang Local Dads, guys.